That's good. I'm glad he still answers prayer, ain't you? I got a lot of them waiting on. And I believe he's going to answer. I believe he will. All right. You help yourself. You got anything for the Lord to help yourself? Yeah.
You know, when you think.
All right. Well, we're looking at the book of Colossians. All right. Then we stopped last week here, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And we're going to go back just for a moment and pick up there. All right. Colossians and Ephesians are running mates, if you would. One's on one rail, one's on the one beside it. Both prison epistles. Of the 95 verses in Colossians, 78 of them are almost alike in Ephesians. And you can see the similarity if you read it. I hope you've done your homework and read Colossians. You should if you read it every day. That's not... like I say, it's the most, if you're slow, I would think 20 minutes would be the most. I timed it myself, not trying to make anybody feel bad. I timed it reading the same pace that I read normally from the pulpit. And I read it out loud, and it was 13 minutes. So I figured 20 minutes ought to make... a slow reader be able to read it. 25, surely. So anyway, hardly nothing, right? Hardly nothing. And sometimes it takes us that long to get out of bed. So I say it ain't that long. We can read it, all right? All right, well, let's pray together, all right? Father, we come. You're so wonderful to us. Again, we must praise you for what we've seen happen this week. We thank you for the soul saved here Sunday morning and then the two Monday night, the little union, the two last night. Lord, it encourages me to know that you still save sinners. And Lord, I knew that, but Lord, how it's a joy to see it and a joy to hear it. And Lord, it encourages me with more people. Lord, you've touched our sick. Lord, we ask you to help our sick even tonight. Lord, I pray for Rose sitting there having the chest pains. And Lord, I pray that if it be all right with you, just touch her, relieve it. And Lord, she's always been a hard worker. She don't know nothing else but hard work. So Lord, I'm going to ask you just to give her the strength to keep busting wood if that's what she wants to do. Or Lord, if you want us to help her, Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, help us to help her. But Lord, you're going to have to do something for her tonight. So Lord, I'm going to ask you to take it away. Let her be comfortable and be able to enjoy the service this evening. Now, Lord, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, we're going to open our part, but Lord, open up, pour in it, Lord, what you want us to have. And may we go from this place being a better Christian because of your greatness. Lord, you've done it all for us. Help us to enjoy it. Help us forget the past. Press on forward to the future, toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. And be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. All right. If you have your own paper, look at it just for a second. But if not, just listen. And bring your papers back when we give them to you. Because it's not that we don't want to waste paper, but we want you to have them. All right. But we look there at Colossians, and what we're doing is trying to show the preeminence, the greatness of Christ in everything and in this Bible. In the book of Colossians, it is the most Christ-centered book in the Bible when you look at it, the way things is laid out. Now, we started in verse 14, 13 and 14 there, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And if you look at verse 13 just for a moment in your Bible, Colossians 1:13, and here's what God has done, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, he rescued. That's the rescue of the Father right there, verse 13. At the rescue of the Father, he delivered us from the power of darkness unto light. We were sometimes darkness, but now we're light. We were in darkness, now we're in the light, but we were darkness. Paul wrote there in Ephesians that we were sometimes darkness, and then Jesus said, we are the light of the world. So there's a change that takes place, and it's because the Father has rescued us. You think about that. Then it says that he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So as far as God is concerned, now listen to me tonight. I'm going to tell you how secure you are. I preached the other Sunday how saved, how lost I was, how saved I am. I am secure in Christ Jesus. Not because of me, but what the process God has done. That God saves us and keeps us. And as far as God is concerned, a saved person, I'm already there. That's how secure. Now, I know you may not be able to comprehend that, but I don't comprehend everything either. But that's the truth of it. That's how saved we are, that as far as God's concerned, I'm there. You understand that? Because He done the work. I'm not saved by works. I'm not kept by works. I'm saved by the process of God. He born me again. He saved me, justified me. God sees me as if not only that I done nothing wrong, but I done everything right. That's how justified is. Do you understand that? Everybody hear what I'm telling you? Now, verse 14 then says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, we see the rescue of the Father in verse 13, and then the ransom of the Son in verse 14. He redeemed us, bought us. Now, listen carefully. This is where we stopped at. And I've heard comments, not from anybody's here tonight, but I've heard comments in church before, and we got to be very careful of how we was redeemed and what we understand about being redeemed. Now, we are bought. We are bought. We're redeemed. And that's really, it's a process. The sacrifice that Christ done on Calvary, gave on Calvary, paid my sin debt. Everybody understand that? So when He justified me, God justified me because of the blood that was shed by Christ. Does everybody follow me? Tell me if you're following me. All right. So I'm redeemed from the slavery to sin, in a sense. Now, I made myself a slave to Satan as I was serving sin. I made myself a slave to Satan as I served sin. I was not Satan's slave at the beginning. But because I was a servant of sin, I was a slave to Satan. Listen carefully. I was also a slave to self. And because of that, I was separated from God. Does everybody still follow me? All right? I was separated from the Father. All right? But the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me and justified me and paid the debt. Now, here's what I want to make sure we understand. The debt was not to Satan. Now, every now and then there'll be a song come across or somebody will make a statement and they'll talk about that God had to buy me from the Lord. That's not true. Buy me from the devil. The Lord didn't have to buy me from the devil. Listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. When Adam sinned in the garden, that broke the fellowship between Adam and the Father. Though Satan instigated it, Adam chose, and the Bible said that the woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam chose his sin to rebel against God. Satan instigated it. Okay? He instigated it. But he instigated with Eve, not Adam. Satan didn't talk to Adam. He talked to Eve. Now we got our Bibles. Everybody ready? Everybody understand?
Yep.
Adam chose.
Yeah. Right.
Satan didn't handcuff him and say, I've got him for ransom. God, you got to do something if you want him back. That's not true. What happened when Adam sinned, he broke the fellowship with the Father. So God turned away. And innocent blood had to be shed, coats of skin made, God gives coats of skin for Adam and Eve that they might have fellowship again. Is everybody following me? Rick just taught us all that. Satan's not in that picture. I'm not saved from Satan. When I get saved, I'm fixing the fellowship that was broken between me and the Father. And the only way I could fix that was to go through the Son. Satan's not in that picture. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying? Satan and Christ are not bargaining for our soul. Nobody's bargaining for our soul. Christ paid the debt. God satisfied. And if man will repent and turn to Christ, then God justifies him. Satan is going to be destroyed not because he condemned man, not because he fought man, because he rebelled against the same God I did. Is everybody still following me? Are you sure you're following me? The reason I'm telling you this is because it matters, because we're putting Satan up there with the authority of God and the power of God, and he has no power. He is a created being, and he don't have that power. I'm separated from the Father because I chose. Sin handed down to me, when I realized I was a sinner, then I knew I needed a Savior. When I realized I was a sinner, the Holy Spirit let me know I need a Savior then. Now that's Bible. Alright, well let's look a little further. So when the contract, if you want to call it that, the contract of my salvation. Now we're looking at the preeminence of Christ in redemption. Does everybody understand that? The preeminence. He's the authority of salvation. Christ is the authority of redemption. Does everybody follow me tonight? So the contract for salvation, if you want to call it that, was not between Christ and Satan, but it was between Christ and the Father. And if the Father wasn't pleased, we don't have no salvation. But can I tell you, the Father was pleased. And it satisfied the Father that his Son died in our place. Because that was the plan of the Father, that the Creator would put on a robe of flesh and die for the creation, because there was no other way to condemn man and make him like he never had sinned before. Does anybody understand me tonight? This is why you can't be nothing but eternally secure in Christ Jesus, because it's between Christ and God, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you understand that tonight? Now I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. Turn to Isaiah 53. Is everybody with me tonight? Now keep talking to me, because I don't want to lose you. If I talk too fast, I'm trying my best to stay slow. This is 90 mile an hour preaching right here, and I can't do it. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 10. It says, now verse 53, or chapter 53 is about the crucifixion, about Christ, what he done. We already know that. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Bruise who? To bruise Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and what? Shall be satisfied. This is talking about the Father and the Son right there. It's not the Father and Mark. It's the Father and the Son. The Son paid the debt. Hey, the Son paid the debt he didn't owe. The Son died and he didn't, shouldn't have had to die. The Son shed his blood and it wasn't for his sin, but the Son shed his blood for my sin. And God saw the Son and forgives me for Christ's sake. He don't forgive me because I deserve it, because I don't deserve it. He don't forgive me because I'm good, because I'm not good. He don't forgive me because I've said this or that, because it don't matter what I've said. It matters whether or not I, by faith, have trusted the sacrifice that God has provided. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Are you okay now? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Now let's read the last of it together. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. "Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven." He didn't do it for you. The contract was between the Son and the Father. Because I wasn't able. I wasn't even allowed in where they was doing anything. I was a Gentile. Are you hearing me? I had a Gentile court. I had to stand way back here in the back. Huh? But because of the cross of Christ, He broke down the middle wall partition. He nailed the ordinances that was against me to His cross. He paid the debt. The Father was satisfied. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's as simple as I know to make it. All right, that was 1 John 5:11-12. All right? Is everybody still okay? There was no negotiation. Satan and Christ did not negotiate. Everybody understand that? Now, if Satan and Christ had to negotiate, then that means that Satan is a mediator too. Turn to 1 Timothy. Is everybody still with me? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. There is one mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ. Satan ain't involved in that. The man Christ is who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Does everybody understand what I'm teaching tonight? Christ. That's why we sing the song, "Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Okay? We still okay. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I just don't want to make sure Satan don't get no praise on nothing. Let me tell you something. I told you, I won't even capitalize his name on a paper. If it's capitalized, it was a mistake. All right, because I go through me in a computer fight, it wants to capitalize it, it tells me I spelt it wrong, and I got to keep hitting the buttons, and I refuse to capitalize his name. I refuse to give him any honor of even a capital letter. I won't do it. I ain't like to say his name loud. Huh? Romans chapter 3. Let's look at verse 21. Is everybody with me? Romans chapter 3. I want you to understand. Don't just hear me. I want you to understand. If you're saved tonight, how did you get saved? Did you ask Satan's permission? Did you ask him, "Is it okay if I go forward? It okay if I know?" He was nothing I had to do it. But he kept whispering in your ear, "You don't need it." Right. Listen, if he whispered in your ear, "You don't need it," it means you wasn't handcuffed. Yeah. Huh? He's trying to encourage you not to go. You wasn't bound to him. Right. The load you had was your filth and your sin and your rebellion against God. Right. It wasn't a kinship with the devil. Huh? Are you listening to me? When that Holy Spirit drawled and wooed on your heart and spoke to you, if you didn't understand the feeling of something wanting you to rise and move forward or come to Christ, there was something there. It was God that was there drawing you, wanting you to come. And when you said, yes, God, however you said it, whether it was out loud or in your heart, the freedom that He gave you, because there was no longer bondage of your sin, but He took this sin away, and God looked at you and said, you're mine. For the first time He could look at you, because there weren't no sin. Because He looked at the Son. And He looked at you through the Son. Hallelujah for the Son tonight. That's why we can praise Him. That's why it don't matter our situation or our circumstance. Because the contract was with God and the Son. And I got the Son tonight. Do you have the Son? Huh? Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Satan. No. Is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Where's it at? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, He is the preeminence of redemption tonight. He's authority. He's high ranking above all when it comes to redeeming my soul. Hallelujah for the Lamb tonight. We still okay? How about 2 Corinthians 5? We're going to read that again here later on, but it ain't too good not to read it again. Some of my favorite scriptures is this scripture right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start at verse 17. Is everybody there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Huh? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, in any of that, have you seen anything between Christ and Satan going on? It's because that ain't the way it happens. Now, you say, well, Mark, why is that so important? Why do you? Because of false doctrine. Because of false doctrine that you're around in Nicholas County all the time. That's why. Now look at your newspaper. Look at your newspaper, and we're going to go right back to where we started. We'll go right back where we started in Colossians. Is everybody still with me? Now here in a minute, I'm not going to try to make you mad or hurt your feelings. And I know I'm on live stream, but that's just the way it is. All right? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. So verse 13 is about the Father. Yeah. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Who's that about? That's about the Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even. I got redemption through His blood, even. I love that even. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Not only did He fix the problem between the Father, not only did He reconcile me and the Father and make peace with us, but He went and forgive me of all my sins. He went ahead and just went and forgive me of all of it. He went and told me, it's okay. Wait a minute. The blasphemies and the liquors and the beers and the dope and the adulteries and idolatries and the gamblers and the thieves and the lies that we've all the sin we've done. He said, here's what I'll do. I'll go ahead and fix it between you and the Father. I'm the mediator. I'm going to take you, you old filthy sinner. That's what you are. I'm going to fix it between you and Dad. And we're going to reconcile. And while we're doing it, I'm going to go ahead and forgive you. I was going extra. I went and fixed it between you. I was going and forgive you too. Amen. Man, you can't beat that nowhere. So that's why he said, even in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. That doesn't do anything for you at all. Huh? That ought to make you stand up and say, glory to the Lamb. It ought to. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? You don't sit there and try to understand it. Believe it. Huh? Huh? I ain't never understood how that Pillsbury boy got in that thing of biscuits yet. Huh? But I don't sit around and fret about it. Huh? When I was a little boy, I used to beat him out. Mommy, every now and then, buy one of a can of biscuits. I go in there and she caught me in there one day and I was trying to find that little boy in there. Didn't go real well. Are we okay tonight? He forgives me. Ephesians 1. Are y'all okay? Man, I'm wanting to go so fast. But y'all can't read as fast as I can. I get to, y'all think I was a holy roller talking in tongues or something. Look at verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom, can we read it? In whom? In whom? In whom? In whom? At somebody. It didn't say in what, it said in whom. All that whom is Him. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin. How forgiven are they? Well, it's according to His riches of His grace. How much grace He got? How much? Y'all, anybody here know? Huh? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Huh? Y'all okay? Huh? Man, I've been in there all day reading and studying. I've had a ball in there today. Huh? In there in the office. Look here. Can we read that Ephesians 4:32 again? Huh? Be ye kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Yeah. I thank you, Teddy. Yeah. Everybody else went to the bathroom. Listen. Look at Psalms 103. Maybe Psalms 103 will help you. Huh? I can't seem to help you. Huh? And I'm being very sarcastic. Psalms 103. On purpose. Psalms 103. Let's look at verse 10. Everybody there? He has not... Now, if anybody wants to say amen or be excited, you go ahead. He had not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Huh? Yeah. My. Ain't that wonderful? You see, we got a problem. The problem is that we think. Now, I'm not throwing no slur at any individual. I'm throwing a slur at a belief, at a doctrine. But just because somebody prays over you, don't mean much. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. I know, I've been told that I'm hard. I've been told, in fact, I was told last night, I'm really not hard, I'm just firm. I don't know what the difference is. I reckon it's a nice way of telling me I was hard. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 says this. Well, we better start at verse 6 so we can get the gist of it. Paul says here to the church of Galatians, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It means it ain't okay. It ain't okay if people believe and push something that ain't right. It ain't okay. I'm sorry. It ain't okay. I don't care if it's insincere. What if I got that identity thing and I just decide I'm a train? I think that's what I'm going to be. Everybody wants to be an animal. I think I want to be a train. Choo-choo. I'm not going to talk to you. Just shut your mouth and go, choo-choo. And when I walk, I'm going to go, choo-choo-choo-choo. I can be as nutty as anybody else. I can be nutty and better than something, probably. Huh? And you say, oh, the preacher's lost his mind. No, I'm just sincere. I'm just sincere. I think I'm a train. Y'all don't want me to be a train? Well, it's my right. If I want to be a train, I'll be a train. I will. I'll go frontwards or backwards. I'll get me a bell, ring a bell. Choo-choo, choo-choo. You say that's silly. Yeah, that's what preaching another gospel is. Verse 9 says, and as we said before, so I say now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. It's not okay. It's not. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that what ye have received, let him be accursed. It's not okay. Now, while Paul combated false doctrine, I want to follow the same path. I got it wrote right down on your paper. The doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist is one of the things we combat around here. Started, you know, they didn't start till May the 21st, 1863 in Battle Creek, Michigan, just in case you need to know that. Didn't have nothing to do with the Bible. Didn't have nothing to do with Jews. Didn't have nothing to do with the history of the Bible. They started May the 21st, 1863 in Battle Creek, Michigan, by Ellen White. All right? And it's so popular with so many because the doctors around here in town, they're good men, good women. I have a thing. Listen, they've been good to my family, been good to me. I ain't got a problem with none of that. Huh? But I'm not going around saying they're Christian doctors because they preach a different gospel. You say, well, no, they don't. Yeah, they do. They come from the Millerites. That's where the Seventh-day Adventists come from. They used to be called Millerites. In 1844, they were called Millerites. All right? And they said Jesus was coming, and they all sold everything and got together, and Jesus didn't come, and people lost faith in him, and then they turned them into Seventh-day Adventists. And the Millerites, they got a little bit, the Jehovah's Witness got a little bit of their teaching from them, and the Worldwide Church of Christ, or Armstrongism, Garner Ted Armstrong, and his son Paul Armstrong, Worldwide Church of Christ, that used to be, it's not in affiliation now, but they all got their start at the Millerites, and the Seventh-day Adventists. Now listen, I'm not being mean to nobody. We're not talking about people. We're talking about belief. Everybody understand what I'm saying? But here's what they say about salvation and Jesus. Jesus is, they'll tell you right quick, Jesus is the eternal Son. He is. He's God. He's the Son. Read right on their doctrinal statement. They'll tell you right now, He's God's Son. They will. But what they won't tell you is that He's part of the Trinity. Well, they tell you that there are three gods. There's a God the Father, and there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. But they don't believe the Trinity like we do. You say, well, it don't matter. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter. It matters so much that in 1980 they had a vote, and they voted to go ahead and start believing the Trinity like we do in 1980. That's one thing to do, but it's another thing to publish it. There's some things you don't say. There's some things you probably ought to not tell. You know, because when you tell stuff like that, it makes it look worse. Is everybody okay with me tonight? I'm not against nobody. I'm just telling you that this truth. Paul said, let it be a curse. Paul said, it ain't right. All right? They believe salvation is determined, listen carefully, is determined or confirmed at the investigative judgment. That's what they call it. All over the great controversy. That's what they call this life, is the great controversy. And that great controversy is a cosmic spiritual conflict. That's what they say. Now this is right off their doctrinal page. Alright, this is right off their doctrinal page. Everybody listen to me? Yeah. This ain't out of my notes. This is right off their doctrinal page. Alright? Everybody with me? Yeah. Alright? We're in a spiritual cosmic conflict. Alright? And God and Jesus and Satan in the last days will search the records and they'll see who's saved. God and Jesus and Satan. And they'll search the records and see who's saved. It's what they believe. Alright? Now listen to me now. And whoever's kept themselves clean, and Satan's going to be there to show where all they tempted them and where all they failed, and Christ is going to be there and the Father's going to be there, and they're going to see and they're going to decide who's saved and who ain't. Okay? And that didn't start till October the 22nd, 1844, when they used to be Millerites. And they carried the doctrine of investigative judgment and great controversy from before they even become Seventh-day Adventists. Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you? Now, you say, why are you saying that? Because the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Colossians, was writing the church because of false doctrine that had crept in. And I've done listened to people that's been here at times and made statements that lean this way. I listen. Are you hearing me? Now, not only that, they also believe, just so you'll know, that the Seventh-day Adventists do not believe in an eternal hell. They believe there's a hell, yeah, but you go burn up, and that's all she wrote. There's no eternal suffering because God is too much a God of love to send anybody to hell. That's what they believe. That's what they'll tell you. That's what's in their doctrinal statement. They believe it's just annihilation. Okay? But that's not true. That's not true. Genesis 3, 14 and 15 tell me that there was no controversy and there ain't no conflict between Christ and Satan concerning my soul. But when mankind sinned, God fixed Adam and He cursed Satan. Don't sound like much of a conflict. Don't sound like much of a fight, does it to y'all? Huh? Does that sound like much of a fight to y'all? Huh? How about Revelation 19 when the angel comes and grabs hold of Satan and binds him in a chain, throws him in the bottomless pit? Don't sound much like a fight to me. Huh? That sound like a fight to y'all? Sound to me like you just got jerked up, tied up, thrown in the hole. Huh? Don't sound like no fight to me. Y'all okay? Huh? How about Revelations? It should have been 10:20, and I wrote down 3:20. So change that on your papers right there. It should be 20:10. That's what it should be. All right, change that on your papers. I'm going to quit. I've got to quit right there. We'll pick up right there next week. Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast to the lake of fire, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Don't sound to me like much of a fight to me. What's it sound like to y'all? That sound like a fight to y'all? I mean, when I used to fight a little bit, and my fights was always they was a bit two ways. Don't sound to me like it, but one way. And it really ain't a fight. It's just Jesus says it and it's done. I just want you to understand tonight, you're redeemed because of Christ. Because He is the preeminence of redemption. Father, thank You for a sure word. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you.